he voted on it. He voted against it. He didn't like the... Well, the motion was just to increase social service spending by 1% over the previous year. And I guess the cost of living increased this year was 2.9% or something like that. So the 3% would have been covered that. That's what first people really wanted, was a 3% cost of living increase. So he didn't go along with it, and the other part of the motion was just that they would check back in January to see how these programs are doing, and if it would need more money, or if there was more money, or anything like that.
And you say, you told me last night that his response was somewhat dramatic and simply voting against it.
Well, what happened is when they had a break, the secretary was outside fuming about the whole thing.
How do you know he was fuming?
I talked to him for a moment, and he was all upset that, you know, no one supported him on his idea of giving more to social service.
Was he egotistical peep, or was he actually sort of shocked at the direction the council was taking?
Well, I think he was shocked that, you know, neither Tim nor Catherine, he was a girl last night. And so he
was trying to keep, is that
right? Right, so no one else backed his play. And I think he was kind of upset because, you know, plus no one in the public, there's only, you know, two or three members of the public in the audience, maybe four.
That's like an obscure place, the ABC room and the end of men.
Yeah, and plus all the doors were locked on the civic center, so they could bang on a door to get into the place.
Well, you've got to protect the council.
Well, it wasn't like that. Somebody closed the door without making sure that they didn't lock behind
it. And the council was afraid for a house.
No, I think it was more the staff.
Well, the staff, and you're blaming the staff. I'm super glad it was one.
Right.
Well, so what happened next? The district was finally responded with a
lot. Well, what happened is when they started up again after the 10-minute break, they started talking about the 2% funding for the Edison, whether it was a public project, and they make sure that 2% of the money was funded some sort of art project to go along with the public project. And Christopher started complaining about, you know, well, here we are, we're going to get 2% for the Edison, we're going to up the planning department budget by 14% this year, and we can't get social services, and so
Unless, of course, the city is sufficiently angry to go up and all that.
I'm not familiar with what?
I've heard that the property owners develop and they don't want to sell.
I'm not sure how realistic Andy took in saying about 5 votes necessary, but that was the same rhetoric that was put out right after the election of 5 votes are necessary to change the city attorney, 5 votes are necessary to change the city manager. And so, by the rigorous work of Robert Norris, who wanted and badgered the city attorney to find out the truth of this matter, he found out that only 4 votes were necessary. So, eminent domain may only take 4 votes.
Right.
I think almost any action the council undertakes, all the cases in the majority.
With the exception of emergency actions taken not on the agenda, but are put on the agenda within 72 hours of the council meeting, those require 5 votes. But again, if you get a majority, it means they get to away the usual process.
Right.
The 4-3 vote passage is not immediately effectuated unless an emergency.
Right, it takes 30 days to go into effect.
I think we're talking not just about laws, but any measures not given 72 hour notice on the agenda.
But it's good to have a
And if they suffer this mythic post of glass attack, in order to get this over, you feel for really something.
We're all suffering with you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So, you gave me kind of highlights last night. We were talking actually about 2 budget hearings. The first, which the police matters were discussed. The second, in which the social services were discussed. And I kind of congratulated Chris today on walking out. As he came in, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, good work. He kind of looked at me and kind of bemused, said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I hear you walked out of the, out of a council meeting and discussed. I think that's the proper response for a member of the public. A real activist, that's what they do. And he said, oh, no, I didn't do that. He said, no, I didn't do that. You must be mistaken. I said, oh, no. Maybe I know. But you weren't, were you?
No, I actually witnessed it. So, I mean...
He asked me, was that on TV? Was that on tape? He said, did people see that? And I said, no, I just think a member of, one of my spies, one of my many fingers, the hand of Robert Norris is everywhere, observed this and noted it. You heard all from the citizens today, official conditions, these are just a bunch of us mouthing off and rumbling about different things. Anything in either the oral communications or the responses that you found to strike your attention?
Well, I was actually quite surprised that Rockin didn't go ballistic on either Steve or you or anybody else this evening. It's the only one he does.
What is it you're expecting to go ballistic?
The anti-war demonstration because of that position paper he put out.
I think he's pretty careful about not making public statements about it. I think he did make this. Councilman Rockin did give a long critical response suggesting that I couldn't remember all the details of it. I think he suggested that the
counterproductive activists.
Right, we need to have peaceful activists and so forth. And there have been letters appearing in the paper that how can the same activists that don't like disciplining Milosevic with uranium depleted weapons don't understand how can they punch a police officer who's attacking them? Don't they understand this is the same kind of violence? And I have a problem understanding that, of course. So maybe I do need some kind of re-education and additional training.
Lots of psychiatric counseling would be in order for you, Robert.
That's been suggested by a number of people. Not the least was a woman in Channel 4 in the news media who was shouting to me that I needed psychiatric help if she backed away from me at the NAACP work meeting about 3 weeks ago. I was asking her, this meeting is about race profiling. How come you aren't asking publicly whether Lieutenant Sapone here and Sergeant Baker, who are undercover, or at least in plain clothes, aren't you demanding of them? And I was making a lot of comments to that effect, suggesting that negotiators might come up and talk to these officers about, do they do racial profiling? And if they don't, do they have any objection to compiling stats on the ethnicity of each person they stop or arrest? And she backed away from me in hope. She shrunk from me.
So, myself, I think the racial profiling doesn't go far enough because they have stated in the feds are now investigating this, but to me it goes beyond just the racial thing. There's subcultures out there within our culture. We have the white people, you have the hippies, and you have the punks, and you have all these other stuff. And then within the black community, you have the Rastafari, and you have all these other groups that have cult evolved out of the primary culture. And those people are targeted a whole lot more. I mean, if you were to just look at the Rastafari and compare it to all the other black people, they probably get stopped 90% of the time compared to the normal black guy that's the custodian at a large supermarket or something.
The black people, the whites get stopped much more, I'm not saying, than the other white people.
Well, yeah, but if you were to compare just the subculture within the white culture, and compare that to the subculture within the black culture, probably the blacks are still being stopped more, but the white subculture members are being stopped much more than the straight blacks and the straight Hispanics.
Well, it has been brought up, it was brought up at the Inclusive Youth Initiative that, or just the youth board, that the idea of simply noting the ethnicity of a group is not sufficient because police can lie about ethnicity.
Well, they can lie, well, they could just not know what the ethnicity was, but don't other, you know.
And you can study suggested video cameras and all the things.
So why not just have a video camera on everybody?
Install a video camera first. Put it in your nasal cavity. But, you know, there was also an afternoon session today at City Council where there was a vote taken on the homeless issues task force. Any comments on that?
Well, three of the council members refused to make nominations, even though each council member was to make a nomination for the task force. Three of them refused to. Council member Rogers, council member Hernandez, and council member Matthews all refused to make nominations, even since the task force is willing to get their nominations. And Hernandez even offered that any of the other council members could make his nomination for him.
The nominees that were made were Linda LeMaster, Laura Tucker, Lou Rice, the protesting fasted for 27 days, much of it from the post office in order to get better services. Sherry Connolly recently through the Streetwise Council has been actively urging the council to open up a clinic ground for years, an activist around this issue. Some of us, my suspicion is that they're dumping activists into this group as a sort of a ghetto or a safe zone, dumping them and referring the problems to them so they can safely ignore any recommendations that come out of that group.
Well, we're hoping that you will find this new task force as much as you did the council task force and be on their heels day and night.
Sort of getting off the scent.
Right. It's kind of very off.
Okay, it's July 3rd, it's around 12:15. We're out here with
Diane Dickens.
Diane, you yourself are houseless?
Yes, I'm living
in. How long have you been around?
About 5 years.
And you said you saw something interesting happen in the kind of, the driveway between Coral Street and the next street over which, where Bean's Restaurant is, right?
Right, it's a real natural place to walk through because the coffee shop, because the way the traffic's directed, that there was a policeman named out here that was harassing people, and one of the interesting things to me was he was looking at someone at 7 in the morning and thinking they were high, when actually they just hadn't had their shower and morning coffee and the benefits of living in a house, which this guy takes for granted. Somehow he's not aware of the fact that this is what poverty is. You know, he got out of bed probably looking the same way that this guy looked.
What form did his harassment take, Diane?
He was walking, my friend was walking through the alley and he was harassed three times.
How did this come about?
He said that it was
trespass?
It was a drug alley. And so somehow anybody walking through there was harassed.
Yeah.
Evidently the businesses around here have connected with Wayne, you know. But I knew my guy, the friend, and he wasn't high. The guy just assumed he was high. Well, he hadn't had his coffee.
And was your friend Steve, the guy with the blonde hair?
That's right.
And
right.
Did, Did you hear the conversation? Were you close enough to hear the conversation?
I just knew for a fact he was not high. The policeman assumed he was high. He came up here to take a shower and go to the bathroom. He hadn't even had coffee. That's why he looked like he was high to these policemen. They don't realize we didn't have an hour in the bathroom.
Now, did you actually visually see any of this, or did you hear about it afterwards?
I talked with the new homeless director.
Kim
about Karen. Karen. Oh,
Karen
I don't.
Karen Brock.
Yeah, I don't know.
Woman with the blonde hair.
What her position is, but the new one that's with the blonde hair, and she referred me actually to you, which surprised me. And she said that she understood it, and for some reason we had to walk around now. She says, well, I'd like to walk through there to get coffee too, and I don't like the fact that I, and they're not going to harass me, but for you guys, maybe you should just walk around for now. But I think that's absurd. How can you expect a homeless person not to walk around the block, you know?
It's a pretty long block here. Actually, I guess you could go along the freeway or along the main road there. I guess it's River Street. When did she tell you this?
About 2 weeks ago before, I guess they've had a little bit of a sting here or something.
Would you be willing to file a complaint to the police department regarding what happened to your friend?
Sure, yeah.
Because he already has filed a complaint. It would be useful to have somebody else filing a verification. Although, is it accurate to say you simply heard about it afterward or you saw some of it? What happened?
My aspect is just that I know that he wasn't high and the policeman thought he was high, and I know it's because he just hadn't had his coffee. And I think it's a political issue that people that are in the middle class and have homes, they don't understand the homelessness. They don't understand that the first hour that we get up, we're looking for a bathroom, we're looking for a cup of coffee. All these things they take for granted. So we look high to them. We're not high. We just haven't been to the bathroom and brushed our teeth and had our coffee yet. That's something we have to work for.
You're really talking about the broader dimensions of what it's like to be outside.
I think it's a broader issue. You know, that guy was, they assumed he was drunk. He wasn't drunk or partying or anything. He came up here to shower and hadn't had a coffee. And they thought he was high. And they harassed him walking through the alley. And so he gets panicked. Well, I talked to Karen, the director, and I said, well, you can see why someone would be paranoid. He was also harassed walking around
Community House?
Yes. And she says, you have a perfect right to go back there and ask about services. The policeman harassed him for going back there.
Officer Seeley.
Yeah.
But your knowledge of this stems from accounts that he gave you, correct?
Yeah.
But you feel, how long have you known Steve?
5 years.
And would you say he's a credible person as far as you're concerned? I mean, what is your sense?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Meaning, is he believable?
Oh, yeah. And I think that...
Does he tell stories? Is he wild and crazy? Is he a lunatic?
No, I was with him when he was trying to get answers from the homeless shelter and the staff and trying to put in a complaint. And I think that it was very evident that it had created a paranoia for him. But it's a paranoia that they create by their treatment of us. You know, we're not illegal. We just haven't had a coffee, and you're harassing us.
What about people sleeping in vehicles? Have you found less harassment in the last month or two, more, the same? What's going on?
More, it seems like the police maybe have backed off, and so there's some element in the city that is
beating people up?
Yeah, there's...
Any recent accounts of this?
Well, I left for a week, but before that, I noticed that back behind Costco, it's very rowdy now. There's people driving by and talking to them.
When was this?
This was 9 days ago.
Anything?
I can't park behind Costco. I don't think the police harassed, but someone else is back there harassing.
Actually, Steve tells me that Officer Seeley was busting a couple for marijuana back there a few days ago.
A friend of mine ended up in jail, and it seems that every time I leave town and come back, someone else is in jail. Also, I noticed in Santa Cruz that you're always having to pay tickets, and you're always having to pay fines. And when I was paying rent over there for a while, you know, every month off the top, you pay a fine or you pay a ticket. So
rent, you mean indoors or out?
I was indoors paying rent, and I was paying for traffic tickets, or parking tickets all the time, parking in front of my house. You know? So, I don't know, you know, what's going on in Santa Cruz.
Said that you were getting camping tickets back then?
I got $280 camping tickets. One of them, I was up in the Poganip with a friend. I was actually paying rent at a place in San Francisco, so I actually was a vacationer. I walked in, the ranger saw us.
Yeah.
He asked to photograph us. I said, hey, it's almost 4:30, can we go on up? And he said, sure. We went up to this guy's teepee who actually was camping there. They came in with a gun, like they were the SWAT team coming in on terrorists. Scared me to death.
What
and
year was this?
This was 1995.
Do you know the name of the ranger who did this?
I don't know his name, but I finally beat the charge in court because they went in and I said, what am I being charged with? I'm obviously not camping and I have a place, you know, and it was 4:30, and the guy saw me walk in, so if you're saying I'm here after hours, he just gave me permission to walk in.
What happened 4:30 in the afternoon?
4:30 in the afternoon, he came in with guns.
The same guy who took your picture?
The same guy that asked to take my picture walking in came in on his guns. He was totally
this was an officer,
out of proportion.
This wasn't Norman Levy, by any chance.
A ranger, I don't know who, and ended up having a tape on him, and he cut off the part at the beginning of the tape in court, and the beginning of the tape was one of my friends who had the TV trying to calm down the ranger. The ranger was overhyped.
Right.
You know, my friend had to come out and say, hey, dude, we're mellow, we're not violent, you know, calm down. He made us get down on our faces in the mud, you know.
Anything more recent in terms of harassment or camping tickets you've heard about?
No, just every friend I had goes to jail. Every time I come back, somebody's in jail.
Somebody in jail now, isn't it?
Yeah.
For?
Marijuana.
And that seems to be what the big excuse now, even though marijuana is, of course, much less deleterious than tobacco or alcohol. And it's kind of a strange thing that they're using this, but perhaps not so strange. To me, it's nice and opportunistic. Reason to go after certain kinds of people you don't like?
Well, some of these people are getting off of hard drugs with the marijuana, which is harm reduction program of medical marijuana, and they're still being harassed, you know. People are doing good, some of them, on the marijuana. They're getting off of hard drugs and cleaning up their life. But that's not being recognized.
It's a good
marijuana
point.
Marijuana is very healthy for some of these people that have had serious drug problems in the past, and they're cleaning up their lives, you know. It's not a cross addiction. It doesn't cause a cross addiction. I am a certified addiction therapist since 1980, and I'm clean. There's no cross addiction, you know. People get into recovery when they go off of alcohol or heroin or cocaine or speed and start using medical marijuana. They get into recovery. They show the symptoms and the signs of recovery. I'm an addiction therapist with a master's degree, and I know that. And yet, people aren't allowed here to get clean.
Now, it's particularly difficult, I know, for people outside without houses, particularly with the closing of the Santa Cruz Cannabis Club about a year ago. There is still WAM, Women and Men for Medical Marijuana, but that's, of course, got a huge waiting list.
I can't get in. I've been trying since 1995. They take most of people that are terminal, or I don't know exactly what their criteria is, but I can't get in, and I know that there's a number of people that have legitimate medical needs out here that don't have their prescription to show for it, and so they're getting thrown in jail. But, you know, I know the doctors, if you get them down here, they'd all have prescriptions. It's just there's not that many doctors that will prescribe because of the federal government and the fear that the federal government is putting people. Fortunately, Mendocino County and Arcata and Humboldt are starting to issue police identification cards. large people have a legal right to have marijuana. And Santa Cruz has been really behind.
Maybe what you can do is, I would encourage you to get together with a group of other homeless people or people with houses and go to city council and demand that this be done. Because we supposedly have a new liberal city council that was elected with 64% of the vote to make some real changes. And so far they've allowed Catherine Byers to buffalo them into doing nothing. And it's time that the mayor, I think, started supporting the majority of people who voted in the last election on these issues.
And it's time for us to hit the happy trails for the hills, because the Little Red Hen has arrived with her co-host, and we're going to be leaving you. Be advised that on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, there will be office hours for Citizen Police Review member Becky Bly down at the At noon, there will be office hours for Citizens Police Review Board member Sandy Brown. If you want to talk to her about what should be on the Police Review Board agenda, whether it's pepper spray or an independent investigation of another instance of police misconduct, whatever you're looking for, that's noon at the Buttery. And it's 8 o'clock at Kelly's Bakery downtown for Becky Blythe, 8 in the morning, all on Tuesday. It's going to be day after tomorrow. I will be returning on Thursday with another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadside, unless I get smart or get religion and get out of town. We'll see what happens. In between times, that's 6 to 8 on Thursday, I'll be coming back on 96.3 FM, which is what you're listening to. In the meantime, give a call to 423-HUB, 423-4833, for any news updates, any concerns about troll busting, police abuse, or sleeping tickets. And be aware that we are trying to get City Council to make and set up an emergency zone. They seem to be sitting on their butts doing absolutely nothing while people continue to get beaten up. And though there have been a few arrests for troll busting, that doesn't alter the situation for people who feel afraid to use the police force in any kind of positive way by making complaints, because they're themselves afraid they're going to be arrested and hauled off. I'm going to tune out now. We're going to get that little red hen coming in. She's just jumped in, as a matter of fact, and she's pecking. Stop that pecking. See you next time.
In the powers of the misty gold. raged for 500 years till the magic in our hearts was reduced to fear. They thought that they succeeded in wiping it out. But magic is still hovering about. Deep within the wildwood lives a little elf man that goes by the name of... He'll willy-gig-a-jig in his eight-pronged claws when he drinks his very, very blueberry grog from his drinking horn that is really not a horn, but an opalescent iridescent periwinkle shell. He wears a vest of green moss round his neck, he wears a Celtic cross, plays rig-a-tick-a-tick on his twiddling sticks, and he'll dance his fairies in the piney thick. They sing fiddly-diddly-dos and go round and around and around they go, hey, our magic is good in every way. When nighttime falls and moonbeams crawl, he journeys to a very, very far away land. He hops on the back of a dragonfly. They take off together through midnight skies over rainbow bridges to the land of green. Then he settles up his heels on a purple sea. There's no...